And this led to a veritable explosion of architectural achievement. In addition to the temple foundations, we have massive walls, especially on the southern side of the city, that have survived. Construction in stone masonry, walls constructed to maintain, withstand siege warfare. Battering rams, towers, a double wall system. The capture of the city and Hattusas was probably taken three times, ultimately had to depend on treachery. The walls to this day absolutely awe the visitor. And walls are, and city fortifications, stone masonry, is one of the achievements that the Hittites pass on into the later civilizations of the Near East. The other site I mentioned that I wish to talk about is about a mile and a half northeast of Hattusas, and that's Yazilikaya, carved rock. You can see it very clearly from the citadel. If you're standing at the northeast corner of the city of Hattusas and you look out, there is Yazilikaya. It's not fortified, significant. It becomes a major sanctuary in the Hittite Empire. The Hittites are confident enough that they maintain the borders. There's no need to fortify the great shrine. There's apparently an axial road that led from the citadel, the royal quarters of Hattusas, to Yazilikaya, and we suspect that there were a series of ritual processions, particularly in the springtime, in which the king and the queen led the procession to the sanctuary. And again, we're dealing with the same king who was responsible for the explosion of the city of Hattusas as an architectural wonder, Hattusilus III. Hattusilus III and his wife, Puduhepa is her name, and remarkably, we know a great deal about this queen. This imperial couple, as I said, came to the throne quite late in life. Hattusilus III was not supposed to be king. He overthrew his nephew, and one of the ways to bolster his position was to be a patron of the arts and to invoke the authority of the thousand gods of Hatti. One of the remarkable documents that comes down to us is what is known as his apology, an explanation of why he overthrew his nephew, which is dedicated to his patron goddess, Shaugah, or Ishtar in the Mesopotamian pantheon, in which he explains his actions, which is really quite remarkable. You know, why would a Hittite king, Lord, had to explain his reasons for overthrowing his opponent? And it was to gain the favor of the god, the favor of the ruling classes. He was also apparently responsible for that first great cultural rewrite. He and his wife Puduhepa, came from the Hurrian sections of the empire. She was from a provincial aristocracy and a high priestess of the goddess Hepat, or Hepatu, which was the Hurrian goddess, the principal Hurrian goddess. They consciously carried out an assimilation of the Hittite gods to their Hurrian counterparts. So the weather god was renamed Teshub, his name in the Hurrian pantheon. The sun goddess of Rena was renamed Hepat, or Hepatu, the goddess of the Hurrians. And there were a number of these equations, and the equations were really not very accurate in some instances. The sun goddess of Arena, the weather god of Hatti, you notice the names are not pronounced. The Hittites, just as many ancient peoples, one thinks of the Hebrews, don't want to mention the name of the god. It's sacred. Just naming the god by a personal name could be a profane act. The Hurrians, on the other hand, were quite willing to name their divinities and had a whole elaborate mythology and literature and epics. All of this is being taken over by the Hittites to dignify and elevate their ancient Anatolian gods to the status of the gods that you would encounter in Mesopotamia and Syria, and therefore wins respectability. Once again, if you need an analogy, think of the Romans. The Romans took Greek mythology and superimposed on their gods this Greek mythology and made equations. And some of these equations are very unfortunate. Greek Aphrodite ended up being equated with Venus, and really they're very different goddesses. The mother of the Julian Gens and of Rome, Venus, is not quite the same as Aphrodite, who's caught in a net with Ares by Hephaestus and, you know, the usual marvelous tales you get in Greek mythology. And there was the same equation going on in the Hittite Empire. Furthermore, it was felt by Hattusilus and his wife that the cult center should be dignified. And that led to construction of temples, and above all at Yazilikaya, the creation of a new sanctuary, apparently a royal sanctuary that would give you the new imperial pantheon. Yazilikaya is not the most obvious place for a cult sanctuary. It's an outcrop of rocks, ideally suited for carving, but there's no spring nearby. There's no primordial cave. There's no obvious place. In fact, we suspect that the shrine was really largely created by the later Hittite empires, is one explanation.